Welcome back to 3HL here on 104.5 The Zone. Jason Martin and Buck Rising has walked into the studio, so he joins me for the remainder of this program.
Oh, baby.
Oh, here we go. Dulcet tones coming from the right side of the studio. I want to thank Johnny's Tavern in Kansas City for hosting Midday 180 and technically hosting 3HL. Eventually, they will get there, and that's thanks to Farm Bureau Health Plans. Farm Bureau Health Plans need great health care coverage at an affordable price. Farm Bureau Health Plans, they will coach you right through it, protecting Tennesseans since 1947. I mention Johnny's Tavern because I believe on site right now, in there, we have Matt Derrick. He writes for ChiefsDigest.com. He's a beat writer for them, publisher for them, also contributor to Sports Talk Radio in Kansas City. Matt, we appreciate you joining us this afternoon. How are you?
I am doing well, Jason. Buck, good to talk to you from here.
It's good to have you, brother. Appreciate the time.
Wish we had you guys here. I mean, you're enjoying some great, you're missing out on some great weather.
Yeah, I'm sure it's fantastic, Matt. I'm sure it's just absolutely great. I'm pretty good right now in the warm, plush confines of a studio in Nashville, Tennessee, even though it's kind of cold here, too. So I see Chris Jones, Matt Moore, and LeSean McCoy. But the big one is Chris Jones because of the matchup with Roger Saffold. I know he was limited, but he was out there doing a little bit of work today. What is reasonable to expect for him right now? Do you have any idea or any sense of if he's able to go, you know, what he's going to be able to do on Sunday?
Yeah, I mean, they've been gearing him up all this week with the intention to just trying to build him up to the point where he can play Sunday. He wasn't really close last week. He went out on the field, did some warm-ups before the game, never looked real comfortable, and when he just tried to push off, it wasn't there. So they made a pretty easy decision last week to shut him down. They seem pretty optimistic that they're going to have him this week. Now, how much? Is he 100%? Probably unlikely, and I would doubt that you see him for the typical 70, 80% of the snaps that you might normally see Chris Jones, but if he can give them a rotation in there, and you're right, he had 2 sacks in that game in Nashville, 8 total tackles. He's a beast. He's a game breaker inside. And that's a key matchup for the Chiefs that you have on Saffold.
Another key matchup that they're going to have is this incredible Kansas City offense, the skill set and the weaponry that they possess against this Tennessee Titans defense, and particularly the secondary. Now, I saw some comments from Sammy Watkins yesterday seeming pretty unbothered by the idea of what this matchup may hold for them. What's kind of been the chatter in the Chiefs locker room heading into this game? Because it seems like they're feeling themselves pretty well.
Yeah, this is a confident squad. I mean, there's no doubt about it. I think there has been a little bit of a different attitude on the different sides of the ball. Heard from a few more of the defensive players today. And they're talking up Derrick Henry. They're talking up this offense to play action. They're giving this Titans offense a great deal of respect. And on the other side, Chiefs got some guys on offense like to talk. Sammy Watkins, Tyreek Hill. They're not afraid to trash talk. And they've been doing a little bit this week. And some of the confidence comes from simply what they've been doing. I mean, they went out last week and scored touchdowns on 7 straight possessions. I mean, that's kind of give you a genuine sense of confidence. And they look back at that game in Week 10, say, you know what, Patrick Mahomes put up 446 yards passing, did it on one leg. He's that first game back from the dislocated knee. So they feel like that this time around, they're going to have a different offense than they showed in Week 10.
Here's a thought. Is Patrick Mahomes sort of been flying under the radar? It sounds insane to say this, based on the fact he was the MVP in the league last year, but because of all the airspace that Lamar Jackson and the Ravens and maybe even the 49ers to some degree have taken up this season, it's almost like people forgot that Patrick Mahomes was the best player in the league last year, and I still think he was this season as well. Have you kind of noticed that? It's just like now they're starting to realize, oh, wait, 15 in red's pretty good.
Yeah, you know, with the way this team played last season played out and with some of the highlight games and the video game numbers the offense was putting up, Patrick Mahomes is everywhere. He's still kind of everywhere this year, even if it's just mostly on the 38,000 commercials you have to see on him on TV during games. I think the injuries kind of played into that a little bit. The offense has not been as explosive as it was a year ago. They're not putting up the pinball numbers that they did. So that may be contributing to it a little bit. I mean, you're right. I mean, he's not MVP this year. The numbers aren't there. Other guys got a lot of attention. But also, you know, with that slump that this team had in the middle of the season when he wasn't there, this team was kind of off the radar. I mean, I really get the sense that this team has really only kind of emerged as, once again, an AFC contender maybe in the last month and really maybe even just the last two or three weeks.
Matt Derrick, our guest from ChiefsDigest.com. Matt, one other thing about what you just said about the pinball numbers. Their inability to run the football in Kansas City has meant the red zone hasn't been nearly as effective maybe as it was a season ago. Is that something that they're going to need a lot more of on Sunday against the Titans, who have been real stingy both in short yardage and in the red area during the postseason?
Yeah, and you know, you look back at the numbers that this team put up last year, and the season numbers were fantastic, but you look at the stretch that they had with Kareem Hunt in that lineup, and those were astronomical. I mean, those were record-setting, best offense ever type numbers that they were putting up. And without that kind of explosive back, it's different. I mean, Damian Williams can do some things. I mean, we saw he had three touchdowns last week, but he's not that guy that, you know that you can go to on third and one that is absolutely going to get you that first down. He's not the guy that you can pound it three or four times inside the 20 and know that he's eventually going to get into the end zone. Now, what has probably made this offense more effective in the red zone, closing out the season, is that Patrick Mahomes is still their best red zone weapon. And when he can move, when he can scramble, when he can get out of the pocket, when he can extend plays, that's where he is absolutely deadly in the red zone. And he couldn't do that most of the season. He's really only been able to do that maybe in the last four games. And you saw last week against Houston, when he's feeling good, when that leg is not bothering him, the ankle's not bothering him, doesn't have the bruised hand, he is the ultimate red zone weapon for them.
In these games that they've dropped, and there haven't been many over the course of this season, is there something in each of the losses that you can identify that's been something that they've been, it's been a consistent theme that they've struggled with all year long?
Yeah, I mean, it's really more defensively what has been the problems, especially early in the season. They were giving up so many yards to running backs, whether they were running or playing out of the backfield. That's where they were really victimized. And you've seen some guys put up some huge numbers, and Henry is one of them. They really cracked down on the last six games. And in that Titans game seems to have been a wake-up call for this defense, because they've played different. Their numbers are completely different over the last six games of the season. The yards that they're giving up on the ground, I think they're giving up 30 less yards a game over the last six games. And, you know, hey, is some of that maybe a byproduct of the schedule? Absolutely. But, you know, you take away some of the big plays that they gave up on special teams last week. And, you know, and defensively, you know, that was pretty good output against the Texans last week.
Matt Derrick of Chiefs Digest here with us on 3HL, 104.5 The Zone. This is not the first time that the Titans and the Chiefs have met in the playoffs. I have seen the Marcus Mariota touchdown pass to himself on my television over and over and over again. Is this something that Chiefs fans kind of talk about over the course of this week? Like, is this almost, we've seen Kyle Van Noy of the Patriots talk about a revenge tour. Do the Chiefs and their fans look at this game in the same way?
Yeah, I think if you talk to a Chiefs fan on the street, you're going to get one of two answers. You're going to get the optimistic Chiefs fan that's going to say, hey, it's a wild card team, it's a number six seed, this is a dream come true, Chiefs are going to the Super Bowl. And then you're going to talk to the ones who say, yeah, but I remember 2017, I remember Darrelle Revis knocking that pass right back at Mariota. They remember Henry running all over them. They remember the Andy Reid's, what, 1-8 lifetime?
That's
against
right.
The Titans? Those are all the things that this is a snake bitten franchise. So they always think that the just disasters around the corner. And from that standpoint, this is their nightmare matchup. I mean, the history between these two teams, the luck that the Chiefs have had against this team, the way that they've lost with Henry just running all over the last couple of games, that gives a lot of Chiefs fans nightmares.
Yeah, no question about it. There've been some weird happenings in this. Probably the weirdest stat that I have seen all week is that Andy Reid has more wins against both the Chiefs and the Eagles than he does the Titans. When he was the Chiefs coach, he won more against the Eagles. When he was the Eagles coach, he won more games against the Chiefs than he has against the Tennessee Titans. That is staggering. Welcome back. It's the last weekday before the AFC Championship game in Kansas City on Sunday. This is 3HL on 104.5 The Zone. He's Buck Rising. I am Jason Martin. He's on Twitter at Buck Rising. I am at JMartZone. Follow us in that order if you would like. But follow Matt Derrick first He writes for ChiefsDigest.com. He is at Matt Derrick on Twitter. Matt, there is a sense. I've had a discussion this week about the difference between pressure and stakes. And it feels to me like the stakes are with the Titans because it's going to be harder for them to get back, because when you've got Patrick Mahomes, you're probably always going to be in the discussion. But assess the validity of the idea that all the pressure is on the Chiefs because there are expectations when you have Mahomes and you have all of these weapons to finally go ahead and get where you couldn't get last year. And most people assume if you had won the coin toss in overtime, it would have been you in the Super Bowl anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, at least the sense from this side of the equation is that, you know, the Titans are playing with house money. I mean, you know, nobody expected them to be there in this game. So, I think that the expectations are completely different. And you're right. I mean, the Chiefs have, they're back into this game. They were soaked. They were one play that, you know, the one offsides call away from being in the Super Bowl a season ago. And, you know, and Thursday here with the players and the coaches was kind of that day. You know, Andy Reid comes to the podium, and the first questions he starts getting asked is, you know, about finally winning the big game. And everybody kind of got asked, you know, what would it mean for Andy Reid to finally win something and, you know, win, get to the Super Bowl, get that ring. And that's pretty common theme around here. And with the team's struggles, with Andy Reid's history of, you know, he's 1-5 in these championship games in his history, there's a lot of pressure everywhere. And, you know, I guess we were talking about earlier about the way that this team snuck up. I think it's benefited them that they did not go into this playoff as the favorite. Last year, you know, having the number one seed, they were expected, you know, to go to the Super Bowl. The fan base expected that was the year. This year, you know, the expectations really didn't really start to ratchet up until last week. So I think that has benefited them. But at the same time, if they do not win this game, there's going to be a lot more fallout in Kansas City. I mean, then the questions are really going to start asked, and it's going to go everywhere. I mean, it's going to go from Brett Veach and general manager down through Andy Reid, head coach, and down to the players, too, about what they need to do to get over the hump.
Because how much of that has been stewing? Because it feels like this thing has always, that's kind of always been something that's plagued Andy Reid, great as though he may be at scheming on the football field. He just has those moments where, last week, I mean, to go back to the Sammy Watkins comments from yesterday's, he was saying he thought they were out of it, down 21-0. I feel like how much do they have in terms of patience? How much do Veach and do Andy Reid have in terms of patience from these Chiefs fans?
From the fans themselves, not a lot. I mean, this is probably the year where they don't get it done, then it's really going to ratchet up because, you know, this is, hey, you're in year three of Patrick Mahomes being cheap. You know, you got two more seasons after this where you can relatively have some cost control with his salary cap. And this year they went out and spent big. They spent big last year bringing in Sammy Watkins and Anthony Hitchens. They spend big this year going out and getting Frank Clark and Tyrann Mathieu. They've tried to spend all the money that they've got available right now to surround Patrick Mahomes with the people that he needs. And you know what? I have this hypothesis, and, you know, it's, I'm not going to be able to prove it for a few more years, but I tell you what, I think there's a reasonable chance when we look back on Andy Reid's history, we may end up saying, you know what? Andy Reid took Donovan McNabb and Alex Smith farther than maybe they would have gone with any other coach. And that was as far as he could go. I mean, the two people who really stopped him were Tom Brady and Bill Belichick, because They lost that playoff game a few years ago. They lost last year in the AFC Championship to those guys. Those are the same guys that beat Andy Reid in the Super Bowl when he finally did make it. And now he has that. He has that MVP quarterback that he has never had. So if he doesn't get it done in the next, he's going to get 3 years, I think. I mean, if they don't win this one, there's no doubt that, you know, hey, they're going to get 3 more years to win this. But if you don't win before Patrick Mahomes gets that big extension money kicking in on the salary cap number, it's going to get a lot harder to do it.
To provide a quick injury update as we sit here previewing Kansas City Chiefs versus the Tennessee Titans on Sunday, Adam Humphries, who has returned to practice for the first time since Week 13, officially listed as questionable on the last injury report of the day. How much does the secondary of the Kansas City Chiefs, how much is it affected by the loss of Juan Thornhill? Because he's been fantastic as a rookie all season long. How much cause for concern should there be?
I think there's definitely cause for concern for the long term and beyond last week when they seemed to weather it pretty well. They had a couple of rough moments, but last week Dan Sorensen stepped up. And I mean, that guy played 109 snaps between offense and special teams.
Good God, 109?
109.
That's wild.
And yeah, and he made probably arguably the two biggest plays on special teams. He causes a fumble and he stops the fake punt. You know, he stepped in and did a good job. Kendall Fuller, you know, has really become a full-time safety. I mean, he's been a quarterback most of his career. He played a lot in the slot for this team, but with the injuries and some of the issues that they've had, I mean, he has become basically a full-time safety now. So you've got Sorensen, Fuller, and Matthew who are patrolling that, and it's really up to Fuller and Sorensen to fill that role that's left by Thornhill because they want to be able to put those guys back there, and whether it's single high or two, you know, cover two. They want to be able to put those guys back there and let Tyron and Matthew roam. And once one Thornhill really stepped in, and that's what allowed Matthew to just literally play anywhere he needs to and wants to, that's when this defense picked up. So that's a big thing because, you know, missing Thornhill, it may limit a little bit about what this defense can do with Honey Badger.
Matt Derrick of ChiefsDigest.com joining us here on 3HL here on 104.5 The Zone. Matt, a little bit of a different kind of question. I look at Andy Reid and I think to myself, that's a top 10 offensive mind maybe in the history of this league. Like, you think about politicians, and as you get further away from presidential administrations, they usually are seen and viewed more positively than they are when they're actually in office. And I think what you said about Andy Reid a couple of answers ago is right in terms of we're going to go back and realize how much better he was than maybe we gave him credit for. But if you saw the hiring cycle last year, if you, I don't know, paid for a check at IHOP with Sean McVay, you were probably going to get a gig in the NFL as a head coach. Are you surprised, considering the rush for offensive minds and being around Andy Reid and the coaching tree that he's been responsible for, that Eric Bieniemy has not gotten more of a look? And that's kind of come into question with the minority, you know, the minority hiring practices and things written about in the Ringer over the last couple of weeks, and it's become a little bit more of a story. But I'm a little surprised we haven't heard Bieniemy's name more because he's been so closely associated with such a dynamic offense.
Yeah, and especially when you consider that Matt Nagy and Doug Peterson
Right. Fill
that exact same role, and they go off and be head coaches, and they've been successful. I think the biggest thing that's, you know, in setting aside the minority questions, but I think are absolutely legitimate questions that need to be confronted. But the bigger thing is you look at the coaches who have been getting jobs and teams this hiring cycle were either looking for a recycled coach who's been a head coach before that they don't have to learn on the job, or they're still looking for that 40-year-old wunderkind. And Eric Bieniemy is 50 years old. And, you know, he's had some up and down moments. I mean, when he's had some play calling duties in the past in college, it wasn't always a great success. So I think that there's areas in the track record to be concerned. But I will say this, you talk to players who've been on this team last few years, anyone who's played for Eric Bieniemy, they will tell you that this guy is the absolute best motivator that they've ever coached or played for. And if you're looking for a team that just needs a culture change, if you're a team that just needs a coach that's going to come in and kick some butt and maybe motivate some players who you haven't been getting the most out of, Eric Bieniemy is going to do that.
One of the biggest injustices of the Black Monday offseason hiring cycle is that man does not have a job. That legitimately bothers me in a way that I feel like many people are bothered by it because the qualifications are exactly the same, and yet here he sits. I want to talk about, though, the growth that you've seen from Eric Bieniemy and the influence that he's had on Patrick Mahomes, because when you're talking about the motivation of the players, I'm watching the television copy of Texans Chiefs last weekend, and I'm seeing how down 21-0, this is not like Lamar Jackson, where he looked a bit shook after the Titans had stopped them a couple times. And I think it's just a product of experience. Pat Mahomes is yelling at these guys on the sideline, hey, do something special. Next play, every play after that, do something special. How much growth have you seen from Mahomes under the tutelage of Bieniemy?
Yeah, you know, and some of that is innate with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, it absolutely is. He just showed up in Kansas City with some of that. But I do. I mean, I think that a little bit of that in-the-face leadership that you get with Mahomes, if he didn't pick it up from Bieniemy, then it's certainly that Eric Bieniemy, you know, cultivates that within Patrick Mahomes and encourages it. He's got kind of carte blanche because, you know, Bieniemy is that kind of guy himself. I mean, he's going to set that example for Mahomes, and at the same time, he's not going to restrain that. He's going to let Mahomes kind of go to his competitive instincts and let those out. So you look at what, you know, the impact that Eric Bieniemy has had on Mahomes, I think it's been nothing but positive.
Matt, we appreciate it. On the way out, I guess we have to ask everybody today, how does this game go on Sunday by your estimation?
Based on what I've seen from this Chiefs team over the last 7 weeks, I've bought into their defense. I think that they're playing well. I think they're a better group than they were in Week 10. The offense seems to have, you know, really hit its stride. It showed last week that if it needs that explosiveness, if it needs to go out and score in six plays in 2 minutes, it can go do that. I know I'm not going to be popular in Asheville, but I'm going with the Chiefs 31-17 in this one.
Matt, we appreciate it. We will certainly enjoy the game from our perspective, and you can enjoy it from yours. We appreciate you making time for us. Enjoy the weekend and enjoy the game.
Thanks, Matt.
Thanks a lot. Enjoy Kansas City, everybody.
We will. Well, no, you'll be there.
I'll be there. I got a cold flight to Kansas City in the morning, boys. Yeah. Woo!
Don't jinx it. I'll tell you that. When we come back from 610 KC, Josh Klinger will join us on the program. We will talk to him about the Chiefs and maybe what his callers have been saying this week and maybe how they're feeling.
Yes.
Are they a little concerned about what the Two-Tone Blue are going to bring up there? We'll do that next. This is 3HL on 104.5 The Zone.